Once a year, when the sun fades away and the darkness descends, the undead walk the streets in the company of witches and warlocks.
Along with kitty cats, bunnies, princesses, superheroes, aliens, and the occasional dinosaur. Let the masquerade begin. It's Halloween! Hey, welcome to the first ever episode of The Random Babbler, the home of random thoughts, insane ideas, and chaotic commentary. Mainly because I rarely know what will flip my on button each day. I'm your host, Scott Smith, and today my gnat-like attention span is focused on Halloween, its origin story, and what it's become today, a $10 billion industry. Yeah, I'll say that again, $10 billion. Now, while that sinks in, let's listen to this.
Good evening, my friend.
I've rented the house on Haunted Hill tonight so that my wife can give a party. A haunted house party. You're all invited.
Run. Run for your life.
Killers are eating the flesh of the people they kill.
Hide, but you can't escape.
The ghosts are moving tonight, restless, hungry.
No one can stop the fury and the terror of the Horror Express.
You think I'm mad, don't you?
So beware this Halloween Eve, when the earth will be haunted by spooks, ghosts, and hobgoblins.
Ooh, scary kitties. So how did it all begin? Halloween's origins can be traced to about 2,000 years ago as the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain. The Celts lived predominantly in what is now Ireland, the UK, and northern France. November 1st marked the first day of the New Year, so Samhain was essentially the original New Year's Eve party. People would light bonfires and wear costumes to welcome the spirits and basically ask them to bless the coming year with good fortune and good harvests. In the 8th century, as the Catholic Church was, wont to do, they appropriated these celebrations and rebranded them as Christian events. The Celtic New Year became All Saints' Day, and Samhain was dubbed All Hallows' Eve, eventually becoming Halloween. Here in North America, the celebration of Halloween was uncommon in rigid Protestant areas of the Northeast. You can imagine the Quakers weren't a big fan of partying. But down in the southern colonies, they knew how to party. The melting pot, merging different European cultures as well as Aboriginal beliefs, resulted in a modified kind of Halloween recipe. Think about it. You've got the Spanish, you've got the French, you've got the Caribbean. There's a reason New Orleans is a party town. Now, considering the Celtic origins of Halloween, it's not surprising that the influx of Irish to America during the potato famine would have a lasting effect upon the tradition. Back in the historical Celtic lands of Ireland and Scotland, young people would costume themselves up and knock on doors, singing a tune, reciting a poem, or performing some sort of trick before collecting a treat, often some fruit or nuts or even coins. So when the mass migration dropped the Irish on America's doorstep, that practice followed.
Trick or treat, boyo!
By the roaring 20s, the trick became less benign, and rather than singing a song, a prank was threatened instead. When the Great Depression hit, things got even worse as criminals would use Halloween as a means to commit acts of vandalism and violence. Everybody's running around in the streets in costume. It's a criminal's wet dream. Move on a little further, and sugar rationing during World War II would lead to an explosion of Halloween in the post-war era. The buoyant mood of victory resulted in the baby boom, and no one consumes candy like kids. Candy companies were all over it. They grabbed Halloween with both hands and took control of our hearts and minds with national ad campaigns promoting the celebration. Today, in the U.S. alone, about $2.6 billion is spent on Halloween candy. Costumes and other paraphernalia account for another $3.5 billion or so. Only Christmas has a larger commercial impact. But this year, in the wake of eased COVID-19 protocols, the National Retail Federation is predicting a $10 billion spending spree. How'd you like to bob for them apples? And Halloween also impacts the entertainment industry, with many horror films pegged for release at this time of year, hoping to reap the whirlwind of scary monsters out on the streets and everywhere else. Now, if you're an alien looking down on this crazy planet of ours, it might seem that all the candy, parties, movies, and costumes have driven us to a manic state. These days, it's not uncommon to see entire neighborhood blocks decorated for Halloween with a passion that would make Christmas crazy Clark Griswold ivy green with envy. One of these all-hallowed souls is Brian Hagel, and people can't wait to see how he one-ups himself year after year. Now, full disclosure, Brian is a friend of mine, and there are currently no vaccinations against his infectious sense of humor. So now that you've been forewarned, let's check in with Hags. Mr. Hagel, thanks for taking time from constructing your 2021 Halloween masterpiece to join us.
Well, I'm honored. I'm honored that you asked me. I'm a little bit frightened, though, that this is what I've been known for now. This is now I'm worried.
You're labeled.
Maybe I've made some poor life choices. I don't know.
Wouldn't be the first one, I'm sure.
No, far from it, for sure.
So tell me, why this fascination with Halloween? Is this like something you've been cursed with since childhood or blessed with? I guess it depends on your perspective.
Well, I've always liked, scary movies and stuff like that. But honestly, Scott, it all started like 1,000 years ago. I was in Weyburn, Saskatchewan, and my girlfriend at the time, now wife, were the only people in this apartment building that we had rented. You know, everything else was vacant. And if you saw the outside of this building, you'd deem it to be Halloween worthy to begin with.
Okay? I've been to Weyburn. It's
right. Yeah. Nothing against the good folks of Weyburn, but this building that I was in, based on my radio paycheck, did not allow me to stay in the nicer parts. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I called the landlord and said, "Listen, nobody's around. Can I decorate the foyer, open up the door to the building, and if any trick or treaters come by, great." So long story short, I am in a costume, like a stuffed dummy. Insert your own joke there. So I've got oversized clothes on. I've got newspaper stuffed everywhere. And sure enough, we get a couple trick-or-treaters. And the mom comes in with her kids, and they're looking at everything, and it looks great. And she goes, "Oh, this dummy looks great." And she's poking my leg, and she pokes once, and she hits newspaper. And she pokes again, and she hits newspaper. And the third time she pokes, she hits my kneecap.
Thank God it was your kneecap.
And the look on her face when she realized that there was a real human being in all of that mess, her purse went flying, the candy dish went flying, and it was at that moment I went, "I'm doing this every single year."
Traumatizing humanity is great pleasure for you, I guess.
Well, I do that 363 days of the year. I figured I might as well get away with it when it's legit on Halloween.
Yeah, I can attest to that. That's true. So,
yeah, you would know better than most.
Personal experience.
Totally.
So, is it a challenge to come up with something to add to your Halloween homage each year, or?
No, because I mean, a lot of this, like, I'm getting old and lazy now, right? So, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I buy, I'll spend a little more money on, so it can stay in good shape and it's easy to set up and all of the above. People don't seem to care about the theme as much as, have you done something cool? Have you done something mm-hmm. different? So honestly, yeah, I add a couple new pieces every year, but I'm running out of storage. I don't have much more room in my garage.
So it's becoming more of Waldo, like, what's the new thing? Can you find the new thing?
Generally, I'm the new thing. I'll buy a new costume, and what I usually do is stand out in the yard with a GoPro, and they think I'm a part of the, display. And when they get close enough, I scare them, and then I record it on camera and laugh about it with family and friends.
Okay, so it's less Where's Waldo as Where's Weirdo.
That is exactly correct. Some of the stories I've got about the scares and what's happened, epic Halloween stories for sure.
Do you get dry cleaning bills, from people staining their underwear? Or?
There's been a couple times. I'm pretty sure that was close. Probably the best one was in Regina, RCMP. It was RCMP. Car pulled up to the house and shines his big side light And I've seen that light before, Scott, but not during Halloween, but that's for a different podcast. He's shining the light to see who's in the yard, and he calls out, he goes, "Hey, whoever's out here, are you the one scaring all the kids?" And my light flashed in front of my eye. I thought, this is it. The Halloween run is over. Somebody complained, I'm done. So I'm laying on the lawn, you know, because I'm an adult. I'm laying on the lawn in a costume. So I get up right away, and I go over, and I take the mask off. He says, "Are you guys scaring everybody?" And I'm like, "Yep." I said, "Did somebody complain?" He goes, "No. My daughter is around the corner. She's in the princess fairy outfit. I want to flip around at the end of the block and record you scaring her on my dash cam. Is that okay?"
Nice.
And I went, "Sure, absolutely." So sure enough, here she comes about 2 minutes later. He's at the end of the block with all the lights off, and I scared her and her friends. They were about 8 or 9 years old at the time. Gave them a great, great scare, and he drives by and thanks me afterwards. So this is the beauty of Halloween in my mind. Everybody's in on the gag.
He drives by and thanks you for having to pay for a lifetime of therapy now for his child.
That was probably one of my favorites, that the police stopped and said, "Can you scare my daughter? She's around the corner." So, but the other part to think of, Scott, is somebody actually got that to the cop.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they did it. Maybe he was patrolling and somebody yelled at him, "Hey, you got to go see this house down this way." But I thought for sure I was going to jail that night.
That would have been a whole different Halloween story.
I would have become a Christmas fan overnight. Had I gone to jail that night, it would have been all efforts on Christmas after that.
Awesome. Well, I mean, you get right into it. You do teaser videos with full production, like a movie trailer.
To be fair, I mean, I am not nearly as talented in that area as you are. That's iMovie.
Wow.
iMovie has a bunch of templates that you just drop in Photos, and there's very little editing going on. So it looks like $1 million, but that's got nothing to do with me. That's got to do with iMovie.
All right, fair enough. But I mean, can people find them on YouTube, or is this strictly for your Facebook friends kind of stuff?
No, I'm currently in a challenge with my son to see who can create the most views on our Facebook page.
Nice.
So if anyone's listening, it's Snuff and Guns Production. You'll know it because there's 5 people subscribed to my channel, and those are, I think, all family members. But that's where you can see all of the latest Halloween videos.
Sweet. And the next generation now, is your son now infected with your Halloweenitis, as it were?
He's infected with lots of my bad traits, but I don't think Halloween's one of them. He's into Halloween, but he doesn't help set up. He wants to go hang out with his friends now. And all of the above. I think he was more into it as a kid, like really young, because he's 12 now. So I think when he was like 6 or 7, it was much more entertaining to come out and sit with dad and maybe scare some people. But I'm out there for as long as people are showing up. He made it about 20 minutes. And then he went, "This is boring. This is cold. I'm going inside."
Exactly.
So not quite the zeal for it that I have.
So what do your neighbors think? Are they into it, or are they like, you know,
"Kids, stay away from the Hagel house"?
There's no, literally nobody else in my Crescent save one that decorates, and they don't go nearly as far as I do. The neighbors next door put up with me as long as, you know, my floodlights and stuff aren't shining into their bedroom window. The neighbors next door, one of them at least, literally doesn't answer the door for trick-or-treaters. They're, no, not into it. But everybody else is okay with it. They actually get a kick out of it. They bring their kids by. But nobody goes to the length, because I'm sure they're thinking, "Don't you work? Like, what's the time and the energy to do this for Halloween?" And I say, well, the same people who do it for Christmas. I just happen to go all in on Halloween.
Well, you're kind of like the Clark Griswold of Halloween, you know.
in Halloween ways and in so many other that I don't even want to talk about.
I'm sure there's the
similarities
a story
between Clark
involving an RV.
The similarities between Clark and I are eerie. Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, awesome. It's good to talk to you, man.
Right on. Thanks thanks for taking the time. And hey, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. I'll let you get back to terrorizing the neighborhood.
Beautiful. Thanks, Scott. Take care.
So there you go. Love it or hate it, Halloween is unavoidable, and it's what you choose to make it, which is pretty much like anything else in life. Me, I like anything that's fun, irreverent, and offers the opportunity to party. I mean, hey, I'm a Jimmy Buffett fan. We parrotheads dress up for his concerts as pirates and tacky tourists. Our daily attire is flip-flops, shorts, and a loud Hawaiian shirt. Halloween? That's a no-brainer for us. So if I show up at your door dressed like a pirate this Halloween, just hand me a frozen margarita. I might even sing you a song. Thanks for listening. I'm Scott Smith, and this has been the Random Babbler Podcast. Cheers. Wasting away again in Margaritaville.